Hello and welcome to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. At Emmanuel Croydon, we exist to be a community drawn together by our desire to know and follow Jesus. We long to become disciples of Jesus who are equipped to serve him in the whole of life, transforming families, communities and workplaces as we love God with heart, mind, soul and strength. We hope you enjoy this week's talk from the morning services. Thank you for joining us today. Grace and peace to you.
Well, the reading is only two verses, and we've heard them already. We've spoken them, so here we go again. Now, I'm going to read it very slowly in little bits and see if there's one bit that touches you in some way as I read. So here we go. Ephesians 6, verse 19. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. This is the word of the Lord.
Jan, thank you. Let's pray again together. These are some words from the beginning of that letter of Paul to the Ephesians. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Glorious Father, we pray now that your spirit who inspired these words, would indeed give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation to know you better this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder, when was the last time that you were lost for words? Lost for words? Have you had moments like that? The last time that Claire and I were lost for words was at the beginning of the year. And it happened because of all of you. Because of your love and care. In the weeks after Nathan's successful surgery, we were just absolutely overwhelmed with your love. There were folk who visited us at hospital while he was recovering. We were sustained enormously by your prayers and your texts and encouragement. You called a prayer meeting for his recovery. We came home to discover a huge pile of gifts and cards for him and for us. And then for the next 3 weeks, literally every single evening, you provided a meal for us. We are deeply grateful for your love and care. Lost for words. What about for you? Well, today, as Natasha mentioned, we are looking at the first of five specific Bible prayers. We could have picked any number, but we're just picking five for the next few weeks. To focus our prayers as part of this year of prayer, ways to encourage and inspire our own. And the first prayer this morning is this prayer for two things: for bold proclamation of the gospel wherever God has sent us. Bold proclamation of the gospel, and for that to happen wherever God has sent us. That's where we're going this morning. If you still have the words, do turn with me, or they'll be on the screen as well. Verse 19. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. That introduces us to our first point this morning: bold proclamation of the gospel. Paul is asking here for prayer to have the right words to fearlessly proclaim the gospel. Now, that word fearlessly, it carries this sense of speaking boldly with courage and with clarity. That is what Paul wanted the Ephesians to pray for him, courage and clarity to proclaim the gospel message. Now, why is courage needed to proclaim the gospel, to proclaim it faithfully? Well, it's because the gospel message is not a message that goes down well all the time with everyone. And the message of the gospel doesn't always go down well because it's a message that at the heart is a message of the need for change. Listen with me to how Mark's gospel opens. This is just so clear, Mark's gospel, on what the gospel is. Mark tells us in chapter 1, verse 4, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And then a few verses later, we're told, after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, Jesus said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Those verses just remind us that the gospel message includes the need for repentance. A complete change in the direction of our lives, away from living for ourselves and towards living for God, his ways. So to follow Jesus involves repentance, a message of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Not just a ticket to heaven, though gloriously that is the promised destination, but no, a whole change of life. And that is not a message that always goes down well. It wasn't popular in Paul's day, and it isn't in ours either. That's why Paul wrote to the Ephesians, pray for me to have words to fearlessly make known the gospel. Now, here is none other than the Apostle Paul himself. This is arguably the greatest missionary in the history of the church, but humble enough to know that he needed the prayer of the Ephesians. In fact, he asked for the same prayer from the believers in Colossae as well. It's a prayer he often asked to be prayed for him. And he needed it so much that twice in those verses, he asked them to pray for this courage. Pray for me that whenever I speak, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make it known, he says. And then verse 20, pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. Now, though these verses come in the context, the wider context of the spiritual battle that's going on. A number of weeks ago, we had the wider context here as we looked at this spiritual battle, this battle between God's people and the devil and all the spiritual forces of evil. Now, that's just significant for us to notice because the devil hates gospel proclamation. He hates it because he loves to keep people in spiritual darkness. And so Paul is, as it were, warning us in these verses to be alert. If you've got the passage open, just glance back with me in that chapter to verses 10 and 11. This is how the spiritual armor of God passage begins. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. And part of taking our stand, being firm in the Lord against the devil, is praying for bold gospel proclamation. And Paul needs that. He knows that he desperately needs their prayers. Now, here's the thing. If none other than the Apostle Paul needed boldness in his gospel proclamation, how much more do we need that today, particularly in our gospel ministry, as a local church here, in every gospel ministry? A number of you will know of the late John Stott, for many years the rector of All Souls Langham Place in central London. And he wrote these words about this passage, about the need for clear gospel proclamation. He writes, Paul is anxious to obscure nothing by muddled speech and to hide nothing by cowardly compromise. Clarity and courage remain two of the most crucial characteristics of authentic Christian preaching. We should join in prayer for these things for the pastors and preachers of the contemporary church. Now, that is even more true, those words that John Stott wrote today, than when he wrote it, because it is increasingly difficult to preach the gospel faithfully in our society. You know, I cannot tell you the number of times I have been preparing to preach in the week or about to stand up and basically been tempted to soften or alter something of the message, something of God's word that I had to preach. essentially to make it sound more appealing to our contemporary ears. It happened to me just a few weeks ago before the evening service. We were in a three-sermon series in Psalm 51, that great psalm of confession of David and the background to it, and I knew I was about to preach a message on the spiritual dangers of trying to cover up our sin in the sight of a holy God. I knew it was going to sound, that it was going to be a heavy message for us to hear. And genuinely, I was stood over there just before the service, just absolutely full of fear. In the time of sung worship beforehand, just frankly tempted to run out the building, run out the door. I really need your prayers for clarity, for boldness, as one of your gospel ministers. Please, can you pray that for each one of us who preach and teach here at Emmanuel, for clear and bold proclamation of the life, eternity-changing gospel of Jesus. And you know, that kind of prayer, it really is essential. We're in this year of prayer because it's not just something that we can pass by. We need this prayer. In some ways, the open secret of churches that experience gospel growth is often, perhaps usually, that it comes when church families are earnestly praying. Charles Spurgeon, the influential 19th century pastor whose churches were packed out with people wanting to hear the message, they saw a huge number of conversions. And he was once asked what he felt to be the secret of his influence. Took a short pause, and then he said, "My people pray for me. My people pray for me." That is the open secret of gospel growth. Now, we are so grateful for the many faithful prayers here at Emmanuel. I know that there are a huge number of you. Many of you have prayed for the proclamation of the gospel here at Emmanuel over many decades. We're so grateful for those prayers. You know, some of us who are newer might not know, there's a group that gathers every Saturday morning to pray, building on the long history of faithful prayer, reaching back to the beginning of our 125-year history. You're always welcome to join for that Saturday morning prayer meeting, or for our monthly second Wednesday of the month, our prayer at the centre, our church-wide prayer meeting. Or even if you're here early before a service, a group of us is always gathering to pray for the service, morning and evening. Just come and join us. We're longing, aren't we, as our vision says, for Christ-centred revival. And the Lord has been so kind. Here and in lots of churches, there are stories at the moment, this year, of the Lord's work. Little mini signs, it feels like, of revival. If we think back to the beginning of year, Hope Explore course that was packed. Right now, Alpha course, loads of people coming with a spiritual hunger. That glorious baptism service back on Palm Sunday. And this kind of work of God is only sustained and only has the opportunity to grow through persistent prayer in church families. So will you commit to that? Will you commit to be faithful in praying for the next 125 years, we pray, unless the Lord returns, of gospel proclamation at Emmanuel? So we've been saying this prayer for bold proclamation of the gospel. And it's a prayer that's particularly needed for those who carry gospel ministry here in every church. But it's also a prayer that we all need to pray for ourselves and for one another. And that's why we're going to come to the second thing that Paul prays for here. So it's bold proclamation of the gospel wherever God has sent us. Wherever he sent us. Let me read verses 19 and 20 again. "Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should." Paul describes himself as an ambassador in chains. And I wonder if you notice that the focus of his prayer is not on the chains themselves, not on being imprisoned, but instead on being an ambassador for Christ. Now, that is pretty challenging, isn't it? As Lizzie and Natasha were helping us to see. Paul does not pray or ask for prayer to be released from prison. That is what we would imagine the first prayer request would be. Certainly, I imagine that would be my first prayer request. But that's not his big desire. His big desire is not to get out.
but to be a witness for Christ, where the Lord has placed him in that moment. That's in keeping of what we know of the Apostle Paul in all his other letters. Wherever the Lord placed him, he was seeking to be faithful in living out and proclaiming the gospel. Now, being an ambassador in chains is, I'm guessing, a more difficult place to be an ambassador for Jesus than most of us are in this morning, than most of the places where God has sent us. And if Paul, in that more difficult situation, could experience the power of God to help him, then that can give us great confidence in our situations. Because actually, Paul was not inherently bolder or brighter than any of us. As he shared the gospel. In fact, he told this to the Corinthians. He said, "When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom. I came to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling." Paul was not naturally strong in his gospel proclamation. He needed God's power. And so he asked him to give him the courage to proclaim the gospel where God had sent him. I'd love to tell you a bit about Jill. Jill was a dear old lady at my previous church. She didn't have it all easy. She was a widow. She had hearing problems. She had struggles with her health. But she was just bursting with joy in Jesus. Jill had so many temptations to focus on the struggles in her life. But she chose instead to cultivate this kind of radiant joy in her relationship with Jesus. And as she enjoyed that, she just had this kind of infectious longing to share Jesus with others. And so she became passionate about sharing her faith. She had worked out that the Lord had placed her as an ambassador in lots of different contexts, just in her day-to-day life. She knew that in her weakness, God could use her. So she'd worked out that she was an ambassador in lots of different places. She was an ambassador on her road, on the bus, when she went out shopping. And because she approached those places with a consciousness that God had placed her there as his ambassador, she looked for the opportunities to speak about him. She used to say that she'd been told early in her Christian life, "Pray each day, God, use me today, make me available to you today." And so she prayed that day by day, "Make me available." She even remembered that she was an ambassador for Christ at the swimming pool. And Jill would literally swim up and down and somehow manage to engage people in conversation about Jesus as she was swimming. And she told me once that she had even managed to give out some little gospel tracts, little explanations about Jesus at the swimming pool. I'm never quite sure how she's managed that. I like to think that she had found some kind of waterproof tracts or something like that. Now, we can't all be like Jill, can we? Some of us think sharing the gospel in a swimming pool, that terrifies us. We can't all be exactly like Jill. But we can all be intentional like Jill. We can all work out where God has placed us as his ambassadors, where God has put you. I know, for instance, I'm supposed to be an ambassador for Christ where I lived, in Hurstview Road, among my friends. When I'm with Claire's family, who don't know the Lord, when I'm in a taxi and striking up conversation. This happened a couple of weeks ago. You'll know I was at a conference, a leadership conference, and as I was coming back, slightly lazily, I'm afraid, I took a taxi back from East Croydon, and the guy asked me where I'd been. I said, "Well, I've been at a Christian leadership conference." Strange reaction to that, but we got a little conversation. He said, "Oh, I know a Christian who, you know," he told me a bit about this. So we had a little conversation. Now, I am very often not bold to speak, just to be clear. But at least if I'm conscious of being his ambassador, then I have a fighting chance to speak of him. So let me ask you, where's God sent you? Where has he placed you as an ambassador for Jesus? Why not think about that? Just right now, where you are, where are you an ambassador for him? And say to yourself, I am an ambassador for Jesus in my family, my workplace, my friendship circle, with my children's friends and their parents at the school gate if I'm there, in my leisure, in that interest group that I'm part of. If you're watching this back as a student at uni or as a younger person at school, Where has God placed you? Well, one of the really encouraging things about thinking of ourselves as ambassadors, just where we already are, is that it takes some of the pressure off. Mark Green has written a wonderful book called Fruitfulness on the Front Line, Making a Difference Where You Are. We've used it previously in our 20s and 30s small groups. It's a great book for anyone. For you, do pick one up, or you can find some of their online resources online, the London Institute for Contemporary Christianity, Fruitfulness on the Front Line. And it's all about how we live and speak for Jesus wherever God has placed us. And Mark Green writes this in the book. Whatever your front line, we have some things going for us. We are there, God is with us, and we have time on our side. Precisely because our front line is a context where we're in frequently, we don't need to feel pressured to pull out the megaphone at the school gate and start preaching. Nor type up an email with the word repent in capitals in the subject line, address it to all staff and press send. Nor do we have to put ourselves under daily undue pressure. That's encouraging, isn't it? And I would simply add that we need to make ourselves available to God. Like Jill prays, Lord, make me available to you today, wherever I am. And that in the right moments, he would give us courage to speak of him as we try and live distinctively. So do you pray for opportunities to speak of Jesus, where he's put you, where he's put you as his ambassador? Maybe you committed to Thy Kingdom Come, initiative praying for 5 people you know to discover Jesus. And as you pray for them, why not pray specifically for some opportunities to speak, for you to speak of your faith? And then be ready, because that is the kind of prayer that God loves to pray, to answer. Or you've been speaking of prayer for bold proclamation of the gospel, prayer for that kind of proclamation, wherever God has sent us. And so we're going to do exactly that now, and we're going to come to a time of prayer. First, I'm going to lead us in a prayer. Then Wendy is going to come and continue to lead us. And then after that, we'll move straight into our final hymn, which reminds us that God is continuing to work out his gospel purposes in the world, year by year, including in each of our lives. So I'm just going to lead us in a prayer to begin with. This is adapted from an old Puritan prayer. So let's just take a pause, bring to mind this need for bold proclamation of the gospel, this sense of where am I an ambassador for Christ. Just bring that to mind in a moment's pause, and then I'll lead us, and then Wendy will continue. So an old Puritan prayer. Forgive the language, but it's glorious what it represents. Heavenly Father, use us as thou will. Do with us what thou will. But O, promote thy cause. Let thy blessed kingdom come. Let thy blessed interests be advanced in this world. O, would thou bring in great numbers to Jesus. Let us see that glorious day and help us to grasp for multitudes of souls. Let us be willing even to die to that end. And while we live, let us labor for thee to the utmost of our strength, spending time profitably in this work, both in health and in weakness. It is thy cause and thy kingdom we long for, not our own. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. For more information about our church and everything we have going on, visit our website, emmanuelcroydon.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to see and hear what's going on in the life of our church. God bless you and have a wonderful week.